You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Williams syndrome is a rare genetic condition. It occurs in less than 1 in 7,500 births. It's characterized by cognitive and visual deficits like trouble with space and numbers, as well as heart and vascular problems. But people with Williams also have remarkable social skills. They have a love of company, conversation, and music, and a general lack of social inhibition. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Barbara Pober, geneticist at the Children's Hospital in Boston and the Center for Human Genetics in Cambridge, and Kelly Martin and Richie Rosen, both of whom have Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Dr. Pober, when did you begin researching Williams?
I became interested in providing care for individuals with Williams syndrome actually 20 years ago in 1987. So I wouldn't say that I research Williams syndrome. I'm a clinical geneticist. I try to understand Williams syndrome, help people with Williams syndrome lead healthier and fuller lives.
Did your interest begin when you met somebody, when you had a patient who had Williams syndrome?
Absolutely. Very, very good question.
What was the reason that you were seeing this patient?
Patient was seen in my genetics clinic to see why they were behind in their milestones and why they had some of the medical problems that they did. And putting together all the pieces of the history and the findings from physical examination. At that time, in 1987, there was no laboratory test that proved the diagnosis of Williams syndrome. One simply had to be an expert clinician and say, I think this person had Williams syndrome. I met several such people, and I was just amazed at their unique combination of abilities and disabilities. But found it very rewarding, very gratifying, trying to work with these individuals and, as I say, help keep them healthy and happy.
Kelly, when were you diagnosed with Williams?
I was diagnosed at 5 months.
So it really presents itself that early?
If folks have a certain type of heart problem, which indeed Kelly did have, it can call attention to the diagnosis very early.
And in your case, Richie, how young were you?
Mine? I got it when I was 3 years old, and I never had heart surgery for it.
But it was also because of a heart condition that people noticed that you had Williams?
My mom and dad must have, because my mom just told me in the car when we were coming that the doctor saw it and they knew that I had it.
Mm-hmm. So what one can diagnose is about 75% have some kind of heart problem, but not everybody. And there are other features that can allow you to establish the diagnosis even when the heart problems aren't there.
But why do so many people with Williams have significant cardiovascular problems?
Well, Williams is a genetic condition. Folks are missing about 24 genes. And one of the genes that's missing has the name elastin, and it makes a protein called elastin, which is very important for blood vessel development and blood vessel function. And when you don't have enough elastin, the kinds of heart problems that we see in folks with Williams syndrome occur.
Well, even though this is a fairly rare condition, it's still one that a lot of scientists are interested in because of what it has and what it doesn't have.
Exactly. One of the most fascinating things and important things in the era of human genomics is to sort out what do each of our 30,000 genes do. And how do you begin that sorting out? Well, folks with Williams syndrome actually can be used to help us sort out what those 24 genes that they're missing do.
Kelly, how yes. much was known about Williams when you were a kid, when you were growing up?
I don't think a lot was noticed, but when I was growing up, my parents didn't tell me until I was, like, older, and I didn't know how to handle it while growing up. But now that I'm 30, I'm still having Williams syndrome, and I am glad to be involved in this wonderful organization to be with the dream team, to be with everybody who has Williams syndrome.
Well, what was the hardest thing to deal with when you were growing up?
Accepting it. Uh-huh. Accepting that I had it. Accepting that, you know, my life would never be the same. And my mobility skills weren't good, but as I got older, they improved, so. Mm-hmm.
But you were mainstreamed at school?
I was in special education in high school.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't affect your ability to learn, did it?
No.
What about you, Richie?
Me? I didn't know more about it until I went to my first convention when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I went.
Do you mean a convention to meet other people with Williams syndrome?
Mm-hmm. And I went there, and I thought it was pretty great because it brought everyone that had it to all these places and to listen to all the speakers and to go on all these different trips, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, much has been mentioned about the connection between Williams syndrome and music.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you good at music, Richie?
Yes, I am.
What does that mean? What do you do?
I play the drums.
Uh-huh. And you, Kelly?
Well, a month ago, I went to the Vanderbilt University camp for Williams syndrome, and it was my first time in Tennessee, and I enjoyed going on the Grand Ole Opry, singing Sunny Side of Life. And what we did while we were in Vanderbilt is we recorded, there was about 25 adults with Williams syndrome there, and we went to Martina McBride's recording studio and recorded Don't Let Things Get You Down and Let Music Fill Your Life. And it was just amazing, and I sing in my choir and help out wherever I can.
No, not everybody with Williams syndrome has this kind of musical ability and or has perfect pitch or relative pitch, but so many do, and it's a genetic thing?
Well, that's, I wanted to amplify on that point a little bit. I think it's fair to say that everybody with Williams syndrome loves music.
Yes, definitely.
Richie even breakdances,
yep.
Right?
That they really connect to music, are very rhythmic. But it would not be fair to say that everybody with Williams syndrome is musically talented, though on that subject, there are a subset of folks who really are exceptionally talented. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a group of folks with Williams syndrome are performing this Saturday in Black Rock, Connecticut, tomorrow afternoon for a Special Olympic fundraiser. And I believe one of them wrote a song and... I'm not sure whether they shared that clip.
Is that called Seeing the Sun?
Correct.
We'll go out with that. We'll
okay,
listen to that
great.
At the end of this. My guests are Dr. Barbara Pober, geneticist at the Children's Hospital Boston and at the Center for Human Genetics in Cambridge, Mass., and also Kelly Martin and Richie Rosen. Both of them have Williams syndrome. If there is a general love of music, mm-hmm. and this is a genetic thing, then does that also mean that people who, and I've met people like this, who just do not connect to music? I always thought that was a psychological thing, but there may also be a genetic reason for that?
Well, yeah. I think there are many levels that we can learn from folks with Williams syndrome. I mean, one, they can talk to us about what it's like living with a disability, mm-hmm. Which I think is very important for those of us that don't have a disability to hear what it's like. But we can also learn from them about genetics. What do those 24 genes do? And it suggests that the genetic change that causes Williams syndrome does affect personality, does affect likes and dislikes. I mean, things that, as you opened your show, most folks with Williams syndrome are friendly. So I think a lot of traits that may not have been considered genetically determined or genetically influenced, in fact, do have a basis in genetics.
To some degree, this seems like an opposite to autism. Are there any connections between the two?
Also, an interesting question. Folks with autism, one of their main disabilities is problems with social interactions, where, in fact, that is very much the opposite in folks with Williams syndrome. At the genetic level, we're not aware of any connection between the two entities, but it's possible that as we learn about one, it may inform us about the other.
Well, Kelly, when you were growing up, did you just feel like you want to be friends with everybody?
Yes.
You had a lack of social fear?
Yes.
Because most people say, I'm shy. You would not say, I'm shy?
Mm-mm, no. I'm very friendly. And besides this, the Williams Syndrome Association, I'm a global messenger for Special Olympics New Jersey. And I went to the first USA National Games in Ames, Iowa last year. And there were 60 other people from Team New Jersey traveling in Michael Bloomberg's private jet. And it was amazing because I met a lot of other people with Williams Syndrome from all over different states. And I didn't know, like, how to be in such a big group. But last year, going to the National Games for the first time, you know, it opened my eyes to people who are so friendly. And if I told them about my condition, they asked a lot of questions, which they did. They said, how come you have this? Why were you born with this? And I said, well, it was just something I was born with. I can't control what I'm born with, but, you know, I accept it and I move on to happier things and to let everybody know who's involved with Williams Syndrome. If you didn't look on the website, on the listserv for WilliamsSyndrome.org, the next year's convention will be in Anaheim, July 9th to the 13th.
If I had more guests like you, I'd never have to ask a question. Richie, yeah. You were nodding your head when Kelly was saying that she was always outgoing. So the same is true for you.
Yep.
Now, what does this tell us about the genetic aspect of sociability? Do you think that, obviously that's something that's being researched, isn't it?
Right.
Humans tend to have to gather together in groups, and some people are more sociable than others, but we couldn't have society without a certain sociability, and now it turns out that this is something that is genetically hardwired?
It may be. The predisposition to socialization then gets reinforced by environmental cues. So it's probably a combination of genetics and environment that are making folks with Williams Syndrome so sociable. But it's a point that they've both brought up, that there are meetings every other year sponsored by the Williams Syndrome Association. And indeed, folks with Williams Syndrome very much enjoy being with each other. They're shaking their heads saying, yes. And I think there are many levels for that enjoyment, one large part of which is they don't have to explain who they are to another person with Williams Syndrome. Another person with Williams Syndrome understands, shares many of the strengths and the weaknesses, and there's no defensiveness, no having to explain why I can't do certain things. So there's enormous peer support, and I think it's fantastic. And these guys are already excited about next summer's Williams Syndrome Association gathering.
Definitely.
We have to take a little break. When we come back, we'll get into some of these details in a little. Deeper. My guests are Kelly Martin and Richie Rosen, who have Williams Syndrome. Dr. Barbara Pober is a geneticist at the Children's Hospital Boston and at the Center for Human Genetics in Cambridge, Mass. We're back with Dr. Barbara Pober, who's a geneticist at the Children's Hospital in Boston and also at Mass General Hospital in Boston. And we're talking about Williams Syndrome. Also here are Kelly Martin and Richie Rosen, both of whom have Williams Syndrome. When we were playing that little clip of jazz to come back into the show, Kelly, you said, I like this music.
Yes.
It really has a wonderful beat. How do you respond to music? Do you think that, I like music, but do you think that you have, there's something that happens in you that's different?
I whenever I hear a song, if it's like upbeat and fast, I like to dance with it. Or if it's slow, I just sit and listen to it on the radio. Mm-hmm. Or I like going every year, I've been coming in December to see a Broadway show. I've seen Wicked, which everybody should go see. It's my favorite musical.
And Gypsy is being performed right now. You should try to see that. That may be the greatest musical ever.
I know.
And Richie, you said that you've seen the Dave Matthews Band how many times?
5 times.
Uh-huh.
Actually, last Saturday I was at Live Earth Concert, and I saw them. That was my 6th time seeing them.
And what is it about the Dave Matthews Band?
Their drummer. Their drummer is my hero for drumming.
Do you play in a band?
I've been playing since I was 8 years old.
There really has to be some kind of a genetic thing. I mean, Bach must have had some kind of a gene as well that allowed him to think in such complex musical ways. Are we discovering more and more that genes play a role in all of these things? There are the people who believe that there's a social brain and that the amygdala has something to do with it.
As a clinical geneticist discussing, you know, sort of brain, the social brain is outside my area of expertise.
That's psychology?
As a geneticist, I obviously think just about everything is genetic. And indeed, the loss of these several genes that folks with Williams syndrome have may help identify pathways that are important for various aspects of sociability, musicality, et cetera.
But also, it seems to me the opposite of Williams is someone who lacks compassion, empathy, desire, a sociopath.
I wouldn't say that's the opposite of Williams. I would be very surprised if the genetic basis for being a sociopath had any relationship to the genetic basis.
It has nothing to do with that.
Of Williams syndrome.
I was saying that's the opposite of you. Not in no way would I suggest that you're a sociopath, Richie.
No way.
But you, the both of you have talked about changing over the years. How has this changed for you?
Well, I'm 24 now, and when I had it, I didn't think like I'd be here, but I'm here, and I have all these good friends that I have. I have my best friend that I really, really want to thank, because I don't know what I would do without him. And I want to thank my mom, my dad, and my brother for everything. They've been through a lot with me, so it's been rough. We have had our ups and downs, but I'm here, right? So
you say you're here as though you were afraid that at some point you might die?
Yeah.
Because of the cardiovascular problems?
No, because I came out of high school, and I was like, after high school, must have had a bad, like, thing happened. All of a sudden, like, I was just nervous. I was completely nervous. And I just went crazy. I just, like, couldn't, like, control everything. And I had to take medicine. And the medicine almost paralyzed me from the head to my feet.
But now you're past that.
Now I'm past that. I don't take medicine no more, for the record. So I'm good.
And in your case, Kelly?
Well, to answer your question, it's been a roller coaster ride ever since I was born and to now. I mean, getting to be 30 is like moving on to a bigger, like, ahead to adulthood and accepting, you know, what's going to happen to me if I don't take care of myself, what's going to happen to people with Williams syndrome if they have health problems or don't take care of themselves, and what to me, it is I had 2 open-heart surgeries when I was 8 and when I was 12, and I don't want to have another 3rd one. I want to stay healthy. I want to make sure that I stay alive and be active and continue in the Williams Syndrome Association, continue in Special Olympics, and continue doing what I love doing and spending time with my family and my 3 nieces and everybody around me. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Williams Syndrome Association, where would the Dream Team be? Where would Richie or I be? Where would Dr. Pober be? Where would our parents be?
True.
Dr. Pober, there's no cure for Williams, but what are the treatments?
Well, I just want to reflect that it really is very hard having Williams syndrome. My hat goes off to these guys, and they really should be commended for all their accomplishments actually exceed mine, because they've had to work so hard to get here and where they are today. Part of why it's so hard is that there's some things folks with Williams syndrome do quite well, but all wrapped up in that same person are other things that they don't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And most do worry a lot and have anxieties, and you've heard a little bit about that already.
Yeah.
So how do we treat people? How do we try to maximize their health and well-being? Well, most folks with Williams syndrome need special education, need extra help in school to learn to the best of their abilities. From a medical point of view, we monitor for cardiovascular problems and treat them when they arise. And there are a multitude of other medical problems that we monitor folks for and try and nip in the bud. There is no fundamental treatment at the moment, though there are research attempts.
What about health insurance? Is that a problem for people who have Williams syndrome?
Absolutely. That most folks with Williams syndrome are not competitively employed, and either
it's also seen as a pre-existing condition, I'm sure, by most HMOs,
right,
or all HMOs.
Exactly, and either remain on parents' insurance or go get SSI and disabilities. Disability insurance.
Is this an area where stem cell research might play a role?
Interesting question. I mean, with another family who has a young daughter with Williams syndrome, who has fairly serious cardiovascular disease, we're trying to look at, are there fundamental therapies that could prevent the disease rather than having to treat it with surgery like Kelly had.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the possibilities that we want to explore is whether stem cell therapy could help prevent the vascular disease. But that is all in the realm of discussion at this juncture.
I want to thank you all so much for being with us, Kelly Martin, Richie
thank
Rosen,
you.
And Dr. Barbara Pober.
Thank you, New
who
York.
Who is a geneticist at the Children's Hospital and at the Center for Human Genetics at Mass General, both in Boston. And we're going to go out with that song that we talked about, performed by Tori Ackley and the Can Do Band. It's called Seeing the Sun.
Bye, everybody.
Written.
Bye.
Written by.
We love New York.
Yes, number one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.